Back at it here on ESPN 1000. Sandra and Hanley, all the drama, Brian. Always drama somewhere. Now it's with Roquan Smith. We've been talking about this. I want to know how they get to the bottom of if he's having this quote-unquote representative call around for trades. Is this an NFL investigation that might have to happen where somebody gets in trouble that way? Is this something the Bears have to investigate? Or is this just another layer that we just ignore right now? Because obviously we have to figure out what we're going to do with him, either keep him or trade him away.
I think the last one, you're spot on. The Bears would have to make an issue of it. Now, my expectation would be that these reports have come out with Mike Florio and guys like the veteran scribe Brad Biggs has confirmed that Florio's report, that someone, again, Roquan doesn't have an agent, so it's not his agency.
I mean, it could be his mom or something, right? I mean,
it could be right. It could be, it could be a high school teammate. It could be a brother. It could be dad. Who knows? It could be a financial advisor, as Courtney said. But the point is, if it got to the point where they felt like there was no middle ground in a negotiation and he did have an agent, the Bears then could say to the agent, you are authorized. We give you permission to call whichever teams you feel there's a fit there and they're willing to give your guy what he wants. And, then we'll see what they're offering us in return and we'll see if there's a fit, right? If there's a trade to be made. Mm-hmm. So from my understanding of it, whoever's calling on behalf of Roquan Smith, once he or she makes that call to said team or teams, those teams are required by NFL rules and bylaws to contact the Bears and say, we got this call. What's up? Are they authorized? And so the Bears are likely aware of it. I mean, I would assume they're aware of it if Mike Florio is aware of it. But it's back to, do they want to make an issue of it now? And the answer obviously is no, because they haven't. But then they could start saying to Roquan Smith, basically, you're putting teams in tampering harm's way, right? Or you have to cease and desist because you are under contract to the Chicago Bears, and therefore you are not authorized to go out and offer your services and your talent to anybody else until we give you that permission. And they haven't gotten to that point yet. The question remains is, when do they get to a point where they're done with this kind of freelancing that Roquan's done, from employing the chairman and George McCaskey to come in and mediate and get a settlement done for him, which George won't do. That's not
no,
the way George
he
operates.
Hired somebody to do that, and that's and what George he's going to have to.
George Mark is the king of the flowchart on corporate. I mean, whenever you ask him, like Ryan and Matt were our football people, the other two before this Ryan and Matt, he would basically go up on a whiteboard and tell you, I'm the chairman, and then, Ted's the president, and then there's a board of directors, and he'd give you everyone's role in the organization and what the responsibilities are. And one thing George does, he allows people to do their job, good or bad, and sometimes, you would argue that sometimes he gives them too much time to prove that they can do good after they've done a lot of bad, see some previous GMs and coaches. But that's why, in particular with a new regime, a first-time GM and a first-time head coach, it's very important that they don't seem to be too soft on this.
Yes.
And it's also probably as important not to come down too hard on the other way. And I think they've shown they haven't done that, right?
Right.
They're trying to use the carrot and not the stick.
Yeah. And, it'll be interesting to see how this shapes the view of who is a great player for us, Roquan Smith, with the fans. We've got Dan in Manhattan wants to jump in on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to talk about the stadium and Roquan real quick. As far as the stadium, I don't think I'm going to miss anything. I haven't been to a game personally. Maybe I'm not the best judge because I haven't been to a game since 2005, I think it was, against Houston, when it was the fifth coldest game in Soldier Field history, and I thought I was going to die. they need
a dome. Maybe you'll miss that.
Yeah, they need a dome. And the game before that I went to was the last game before that was the Eagles playoff game where we got completely annihilated. So again, maybe my opinion is skewed.
Was that the game?
'01, I believe, or 2000, where we just got
trounced.
You
couldn't even see what was going on the field because of the fog.
It was miserable. It was miserable. Yeah. Again, that's not the stadium's fault. But as far as Roquan, you don't get better by letting good players go. But in this case, I think Poles is doing the right thing. You do not throw good money after bad. You don't invest that much money in a guy that doesn't create turnovers and doesn't get sacks. You need to spend your money wisely when you're basically starting from scratch. You don't want to be saddled with an albatross like that when there's so many positions that you need to improve. And I know they're going to have a lot of money next year, but that doesn't mean you start spending unwisely. And that's pretty much all
good
I got,
point.
Guys.
Thanks, Dan. You know, he's got a point, and I think I'm leaning that way too. You know, I don't like that he's holding them hostage. He's trying to set the market, but is he truly a market setter? Especially in this new regime, Brian, we haven't seen him play. As Dan pointed out, there are a few things that he's not really known for. He's a great player, but do we need that type of player now? And do we need to pay that much for that type of player now when we have so many other needs?
And again, it's how you structure the contract, right? So to the Bears' point and Dan's point, you want to give him what the market says he's due and what he believes he's due. But if that's 5 years and $100 million, give or take, and he's basing it on the top two linebackers at his spot getting $97.5, $98 million a year, and he wants to better that, and God bless him for that, the Bears still want to say, as you said, see how he fits into this system. They're not questioning mm-hmm. his talent as a football player, right. But maybe he's not the best fit for this system. So if you backload the contract, much to the chagrin of Roquan Smith, you give him a year or two to figure out, to you figuring out if he's that guy. And if he is that guy, then there's a ton of money on the back end of the contract. But as a player, from his perspective, it's like, wait a minute, if I get hurt in these next couple of years and I'm working for 50% of what I think I'm worth per season, it's all about average annual salary, right? The AA, mm-hmm. the AAV of the value of the contract, not about the $100 million in 5 years. It's how it's structured. So, you know, this is not an easy thing. And I, you know, beginning of last season, I thought it was going to be a lot easier than it's turned out to be. And now it seems like you're truly at an impasse, and it doesn't seem like the player's budging. And if you're the first year general manager, I don't know how much you can budge, because so much rides on this in terms of how you operate as a GM and the precedent you set. And
yep.
And you know, how people are going to perceive you around the league and someone they might have to deal with.
That's exactly right. Now we've got the Twitter poll up at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. Which is more likely, Bears sign Roquan Smith, Bears trade Roquan Smith? We've got Mike Barbakovi. That's it. That's how you say it. He chimed in and he said, hopefully they trade the clown. He's not elite, although a solid player. He's burned a bridge here. And this is my point about bringing up the fans. Is this a real bridge burner for you? 312-332-3776. Of all the things that Brian brought up, and he, Roquan's got a point, you know, you want as much guaranteed money as possible, because you do not know what that next play is going to hold for you. And you know, he's trying to, as we understand it, he's trying to set the market. But is he a market setter? Is he that good that he's trying to set the market? Is that really fair, or is he overplaying his hand, Brian?
Well, he's in the prime of his career at 25. Right. The other question is, how much do you value the position as an off-ball linebacker? And, you know, the Bears know what,
and that's part
what
of
those
the
guys
new system,
are getting.
Right.
Yeah, the Bears know what those guys are getting. The most recent ones who have settled are in that $98, $99 million contract value, the total value of the contract. And right now it's like, okay, we're rebuilding. We're pick a number 3 years away, 4 years away. Three might be optimistic from really being a solid top to bottom roster, ready to go and win a division and hopefully make noise in the playoffs. But, you know, as much money, as Dan just said, our caller just said, as much money as they're going to have next year, it doesn't mean you just say, okay, well, there's $100 million and we'll front load it. We won't back load it. We'll give you everything you want. It just, we started with this, that if he had representation, it would probably be a lot better for Roquan, and certainly a lot better for the Bears right now.
It might have been over by now.
Correct.
This level of bridge burning that is reaching the fandom maybe wouldn't be here. And you know, Roquan can't worry about that too much. But, you know, we like to like our players, Brian. And when you see something like this to happen, it's like, ah, oh, come on. You're kind of holding up the team. We've got this new team. Everybody should be in. Let's just get this done and let's move on. We've got another preseason game to play. We've got Justin Fields. We've got to see development from him. We just don't need this distraction.
Yeah, and our Twitter poll, our Twitter response said that he's a clown. See, you don't want to get to the point where even a percentage of the fan base is not rooting for you, doesn't want you to be part of this thing. But
that's
the other
right.
thing is how much do you want to be a part of this thing? I mean, I would hate for him to want to just put in his six games, be disgruntled, and have to pay fines for practices missed. So now his attitude is sour completely. And even though he has to, you know, attract other teams' interest as a free agent, you just wonder how that all comes together, right? I mean, if his mind isn't in the right spot, if his attitude isn't in the right spot, his talent is not going to carry him to great heights for this team or do him well in the future with other teams who are scouting him, right?
Right. Yeah, that's not a place we want to go, but it's surprising that we're pointing in that direction. And the whole idea that there's those reports, Florio had it, that he has a rep calling around for trades. He's just really going about this the wrong way. And it'd be nice if maybe even the Bears just said, okay, we'll pay some of your commission to your agent. Please pick one and let's talk to him. let's stop talking to you. Let's talk to him or her. Let's deal with somebody that knows what to do. And Roquan, you're doing yourself a great disservice by trying to represent yourself and save a little money.
Yeah.
And let's not forget he fired somebody, and that may be because that person wasn't paying attention or he wasn't paying attention to that person's maybe
there
common sense advice.
Right. Maybe the advice he was hearing was like, no, I don't want to hear that. And he's trying to, read him the riot act or tell him the way of the NFL world. And he didn't like what he was hearing. And so he said, I'll do it myself. And here we are. Here we sit today.
Yeah, it's certainly a mess. 312-332-3776. We also had at Sloppy Guy jump onto the thread, say, trade him for any wide receiver. Well, we certainly do need wide receivers, but it can't be any. He has a great amount of value. And as we talked about, the word is out on this. So, we won't get true value because we know that, other teams are paying attention, seeing that this is a mess. And if we have to trade him, we're not going to get everything we should.
Yeah, I think we do have any wide receiver right now. We just don't have the stud wide receiver right now. So we're,
right.
Tajae Sharpe has looked good in practice, and they translated that to the first preseason game. So he's a keeper, but there's no Devontae Adams in this group. There's no difference maker.
No, not that we're seeing, unless somebody comes up and surprises us, and we're certainly welcome to that. 312-332-3776. We're going to talk Bears if you want to transition over to the White Sox. They actually have a 2-game winning streak. Shh, don't say that out loud. I'm sorry. I should have said that out loud. They're actually 2 games above 500. Probably something else I shouldn't say out loud. And they've got another game against Detroit today. Lance Lynn is on the bump. We'll get to that and more when we come back here on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Xander and Hanley on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
It was exciting. It's a long time coming, and I thought it was exciting. I think the coaches did an outstanding job with the game day operation, including the coordinators being able to communicate with those guys, with Getsy, with Allen, with Hightower. They did a really phenomenal job. We were all on the same page the entire day, when we were going for it, when we were punting, field goal, that whole operation. And it was prior to, first down, you're telling Getsy, hey, we're go for it on 3-1 here, three or less. So I thought that operation was really good. And then the moving from unit to unit, that was really good, going from field goal team or punt team. But overall, it was great. I really enjoyed the moment. Come on.
Coach Matt Eberflus discussing his first game at head coach yesterday, organized. That's a good word for it, right, Brian, compared to what we've seen past few years?
Yeah, dress rehearsal for a first-time head coach and the staff that he's just put together. So communication, like you said, all important. There were so many times, and not only the past regime, but other regimes, where it just looked like there was miscommunication, no communication. You didn't know who was looking to challenge a play or not. Someone
who was driving
upstairs.
The bus. Yeah.
Hey, sometimes even the headsets didn't work, right?
That's what we heard.
Yeah, and you know this, and we all know this, but to hear it on the broadcast yesterday, it still stops me cold. When Adam Amin was talking and thought that 11 after George Halas, of the 12 Bears head coaches in history, 11 are right, first-time head coaches.
Yes, except for John Fox, and he said that, and it stopped me too, because it's like, I know that. However, every time it's vocalized, it's like, wow, how could that be? And it's not to say that that's necessarily the way to do it, because John Fox did not work out here.
But no, but the point is, either it's not an attractive destination for veteran guys who actually know how to get it done and have historically got it done.
Right.
And
or they just don't want to pay. Or they just don't want to pay if that's an issue. And I'm just making an assumption.
Well, but how many first-time GMs have we had, too, by the way?
Yes.
Phil Emery, Ryan Pace, Ryan Poles. Go back. I mean, so guys are learning on the job, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I always like to err on the side of
only
guys
if it works
been there
out.
And done that.
Only if it works out. 312-332-3776. Steve's on the road. He wants to jump in here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Steve.
Hi there, guys. Hey, I just wanted to more or less echo what you guys just said. In watching that game, I didn't watch it live, I watched it on replay. In watching it, it looked like a professional operation was going on the field. Every single, all the way from first string to third string, looked like they knew what they were doing. And I did not see, I may have missed it, but I didn't see many holding or, preliminary procedure penalties.
Yes.
There were no pre-snap penalties. Yeah, no pre-snap penalties.
Means
you're right. Yeah.
The coaching on the line there, I think, is being performed very well. The other thing I noticed that they highlighted on the, or they didn't say anything, but they showed Getsy next to Fields there, with the iPad or the Microsoft pad or whatever it was, going over stuff, and Fields intently looking and watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw that too. Thank you for the call. Professionally run organization. Lots of it just seems structured and organized. Those are the words we use. We saw that immediate change from what we've seen in recent years. And those were simple things that were elusive, apparently, up until we have a new regime in Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. Adam in Crown Point wants to jump on, talk about the Roquan Smith situation. Hey, Adam.
Hey guys. How's it going?
Good.
So I'm kind of on the fence with it. I mean, we know that Roquan's a fantastic player, and this team is undoubtedly better with him on the field, I think. But if you take a look at, like, the Lamar Jackson situation in Baltimore, like, they're in the same situation, right? They're both representing themselves last year, the contract. But, like, he's handled it infinitely better, I think. Like, he hasn't had, made any burned bridges or, like, ticked off any fans with his behavior. Like, it's way more professional, and it's just kind of upsetting to see that. I wonder what you guys think. Anyways, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, Adam. Well, as a fan first, I don't like to see this at all. It's kind of putting a sour taste in my mouth about Mr. Smith. I want a good attitude. I want all buy-in. Yes, you've got to do what you need to do for yourself and your career, and you only have so many years to make money in this business, so you have to capitalize on that. But the idea, Brian, of it's a lost art, but how about playing out your contract, and as you're coming up to the end of the contract, then you negotiate? What happened to that?
Well, I mean, that just it doesn't happen anymore. But I mean, in the perfect world, that's you earn every penny of your current contract, and then you get to the point where
that's my point.
The people value you and you want to stick around. But to our caller's point, I agree with him. I mean, I keep seeing the word immature associated with Roquan Smith. I've never met him. I can't tell you from a firsthand experience or been around him like a lot of the beat guys have, what his personality is, what his demeanor is. I mean, some of these guys I've seen already, and they're younger than Roquan, and just how they handle themselves at press conferences they're very serious sorts, like Darnell Mooney and Laird. They're serious as a heart attack, some of them, right? You know, it's all business. You almost want to say, hey, have some more fun. But they're like, hey, my career is hanging in the balance with everything I do for a new coach or a new GM. So I don't know if he's immature or not. But to our caller's point, there is a way of doing this. If you're going to do it on your own, you better be confident that you can do it the right way.
And be ready ready to do it the right way, right? And get enough perspective and advice. And such, it doesn't seem like he has.
Well, the misstep, number one, was coming out with a written trade demand. And then within that demand saying, I've been disrespected. They're not negotiating in good faith. It's take it or leave it. And by the way, George, why don't you come down here and straighten this GM out so I get paid? You know, that was kind of a nuclear option that didn't have to be played as early as Roquan played it. Now, I get his frustration in the matter. He probably thought they were just going to give him what he wanted and he'd be playing right now. But as far as Lamar Jackson, he might be handling it in a different way as far as public relations go, Mark. But everything I've seen is that there's a huge space between where the team is at and what they're offering and what he's looking for. And right now, the people don't think they're going to come to terms on a contract. Right. So,
but that's a factor of right. That's a factor of negotiations, and negotiations happen all the time. You just have to keep it out of the public, do it in good faith. And Roquan saying it's not in good faith, I'm not sure and we could be wrong, but it seems like it is. And, you know, him mischaracterizing this situation is probably infuriating to Poles and the rest of the organization. And then for them to discover that maybe he has a rep trying to, sniff out a trade. It's just such a mess, and we'll see what happens. And as you said, some people think it's going to be solved one way or another by Thursday. We do know this. It cannot go along as a distraction much longer, and it certainly, I'm not sure, can get any worse than this, Brian.
I'm with you. I mean, it seems to have gone south very quickly here, and either there's a middle ground to be found, or you're just going to have to say, I don't want to take 70 cents or 80 cents on the dollar in a trade. But, either I accept the trade, or Roquan, you can start paying money for fines for missed practices and games, and we'll go from there.
You know, it'd be interesting if we could talk to somebody that's familiar with the role of an agent, somebody who can maybe just remain anonymous to get their feelings on how this is playing out. Is this really a mess on Roquan's side? It certainly seems like it to me. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Back at it, we'll be talking about the White Sox as White Sox, the pregame. We're here at 12:30. We're here until then. We'll get to them, but we're still talking Bears here. Ken in Fort Worth wants to jump on here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ken from Texas, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I loved your point about the inexperience in the front office and the coach. I've been telling that to friends for years that we're too cheap to hire anyone. And this go around, I really wanted either the coach or the GM, preferably the GM, to have had experience, since he has no one above him in the organization with football mind. And so far, though, I'd have to say Eberflus has looked a little less inexperienced compared to what Poles has gone through so far, with some signings not falling through in free agency, and then what he's going through now with Roquan. But how does he move forward with this and experience and overcome this and hopefully be a successful GM?
Well, that's a great question. That's a great question, yeah.
Because, how is he perceived, how he handles Roquan Smith, and the caller alluded to the first free agent signing, the offensive lineman didn't pass his physical, right? And so you made a big play and put some money on the table, and then he couldn't pass the medical, and that didn't look too good. You've had three players run afoul of the law in the offseason, so that didn't look too good for either the coaching
staff. No, and certainly that's not – you can't draw a direct line between him, but by association it's unfortunate. But all of these things add up to, potential or perceived missteps, and it's unfortunate. Right. He will get graded on this.
Of course he will. And then, so now how you handle Roquan, either – one of our other callers said, Courtney said it, how's it perceived around the locker room or future holdouts or hold-ins or, you know, how you handle him, Roquan Smith. If you're too soft, that's not good. If you're too hard, that's not good. Goldilocks, it has to be just right. And other GMs are watching because they're going to have to deal with you in terms of trades. And other agents are watching because they do represent players, and they're going to want to see how you act and react as a GM when you're put in a situation that is part of your making. But when the player forced your hand in very short order here and started demanding the chairman come in and make things right and, you know, said you're disrespectful and you're not negotiating in good faith. I mean, as a first-time GM, everyone's watching you. The guys in Hallis Hall, the agents outside of Hallis Hall, GMs around the league. So you have to kind of, you know, find a way to thread the needle here and come out with the best possible solution or outcome. And you know, your reputation, this is part of the foundation of you as a first-time GM on you know, how you're going to move forward.
And this isn't the first time there's been a little drama with Roquan, correct?
Oh, no. As a rookie, he held out.
Yeah, right? See, this is why, look, I like him as a player. I we're known for linebackers here in town, and he's certainly one in a long line. But as a fan, I'm fine with, moving on. You know, I don't want this distraction. As you said, Darnell Mooney, a lot of the other guys, when they're talking to the media, especially after the hard practices and such, we seem like we have a vibe of togetherness. Eberflus, first time head coach, but come on, tell me he isn't looking more professional out of the box than a Mark Trestman or some of the other people that we've been saddled with.
So, yeah.
Right, a low bar. So with all of that said, I say we move on because I don't want to see this team held hostage by such a questionable approach by someone who's not, I'm sorry, I'll say it, but he's not smart enough to have representation. I think he's doing him a fabulous disservice.
Absolutely is, but you can't just move on and with a scorched earth policy. You got to get the most you can. Either you find a way to.
Well, certainly that's all part of it. Right.
You can't just give the guy away. Just be done with the headache and the distraction.
Make the best deal you can.
You need to accumulate as much future draft capital as you can, get, or players or whatever it looks like in a trade, because you can't just say, okay, Roquan, you're my migraine and I'm done with you. And that doesn't serve the organization.
No, certainly not. I mean, that as far as my plan would go, now you have to go out and make the best deal. But he is a tremendous distraction. And, he's forcing them to set a precedent, and he's forcing their hand while he's still under contract. And call me old school, but it would just be nice. And again, it's not the way it is anymore. But you know what? I'll play the part of Fred Huebner here. Shut up, go out and play, prove yourself, and let's talk contract after the season.
Yeah, but I understand that, and I'm very much old school in a lot of respects. But the fact of the matter is, on a rookie contract, usually, are you picking up that last year option? No, you're not doing that with Mitch Trubisky. Okay, those decisions are made right now where Roquan's at. Right, it's normally don't play out the entirety of the contract. But 4 years in, you should have a good handle on what his abilities are and what he means to the team. But unfortunately for Roquan, there's a new sheriff in the GM, and there's a new sheriff in the head coach. And they need to more prove it, right?
It would have been interesting if he pulled this last year with the previous regime. I think that he's using this technique that might have worked before.
Amen.
Is going to blow up in his face now. I mean, it already has.
You saw Matt Nagy go up to him. And Matt's aware of what's going on, right? A lot of times he wasn't here, but he went up and gave Roquan a big bear hug, no pun intended, yesterday, and whispered something in his ears.
Don't worry,
you'll get paid, or maybe.
Yeah, more or less. Well, you should have done this to us last year. Good luck to you, brother.
Yeah, we would have given you whatever you wanted last year.
Yeah. A little too late. You're about a year and a regime. Too late, possibly. 312-332-3776. Yeah, this is certainly drama we don't need. We saw Justin Fields yesterday in preseason game number one. Saw a few things. Yeah, weren't totally overwhelmed. Brisker, wow. That's really great to see. And if we can get Quinn back and playing with his head on straight, you know, the defense with Eberflus being a defensive coach, kind of defense first type guy, that's perfect for the Bears. That's been our history. We need an offense, and that's where all the spotlight's going to be. But it was nice to see those takeaways yesterday too, Brian.
Yeah, I know that the T in hits is for takeaways. Tackling, if you could put another T in there. And
it's the two T's in hits.
I'd be okay with that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure that those players are going to hear about that today. And that much there will be accountability, much like there wasn't before.
Yeah, I mean, Eberflus said after the game, if you had 100 plays and 98 of them went better than expected, we're going to talk about the other two. Now, you can't do that too much. You don't want to be the guy who just dismisses all the good, and I don't think he is. But
it's a balance. It's a balance
about the two.
Yes, it's a balance act. You know, like any management in any type of business, you can't focus on just the bad. You've got to commend for the good and bring up the bad and figure out ways to solve the things that didn't work. And I have confidence that's happening now with this regime. Never felt that way about what was here before. 312-332-3776. We'll continue to take your Bears calls. We will start talking about the White Sox as we get ready for a White Sox pregame at 12:30, taking on the Detroit Tigers. Yes, they are a bad team, but you can only play the teams you're playing, and the White Sox have a two-game win streak. We'll talk about what went right yesterday here on ESPN 1000 when we get back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
This is your home for Chicago White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000. Pregame starts at 12:30 right after us, Xander and Hanley here. And we had a lot go right yesterday, Brian. Giolito, 7 innings pitched, deep into a game, 7 strikeouts. You know, not bad. We had some fight yesterday. Here are some notables. We had A.J. Pollock go 2-for-4. We had Yoan go 2-for-4, 2-for-3 for Jose. He's been consistent. Andrew Vaughn, somebody we can count on. He was DH'ing yesterday, 3-for-4. We had Leury Garcia go 2-for-4, which was nice to see. Leury being a spot starter here and there, not being relied upon like he was earlier in the season right now, which you know is okay by me. But we won yesterday. Sox won 6-4, and they've got another game against Detroit today. And it's you know, we're taking advantage of the easy part of the schedule. And that ends after today because we're seeing the Astros at guaranteed rate tomorrow.
Jose Abreu tagged up from first and went to second on a warning track, one of those warning track no one right. won, Tony. Yeah. And he got there right before the throw, and he got in safely. It was interesting because Tony La Russa said, being, you know, true to form this year, Tony said, great play, he's a great base runner, that's, you know, heads up. And he ended up scoring when Vaughn, hit him in.
Yep.
But Vaughn came out and said, you know, well, Jose's not a great runner. I'm like, Andrew, God bless you and everything you've done to contribute to this team this year. But I don't think Jose Abreu wants you, you know, no one's suggesting that he's, you know, he's going to be going to the Hall of Fame because of his fleet of foot.
No, right. He's smarter than he is faster, Brian.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he, you know, right there, he used more of his guile than he did, you know, but it worked out. Mm-hmm. But speaking of sliding into second base, Luis Robert did that, and he did it head first, and he's out with a wrist. X-ray's negative, but it doesn't look like he's going to be back.
He's not playing today. No, he's not playing today. As a matter of fact, I've got the lineup here, which, you know, are we questioning his durability? Are we questioning Tony's willingness to play a player that has an ouchie? You know, where are we at here? It's kind of confusing, but we have the lineup available, and AJ is leading off. He's done very well in the leadoff position as Tim Anderson's on the DL. Yoan Moncada batting second at third. Eloy is DH, batting third. Jose's back at first. cleanup. Andrew Vaughn in right field, Josh Harrison at second base, Adam Engel in center, Sebi Zavala behind the plate, and Lenine Sosa back at shortstop with Lance Lynn on the hill. And, you know, again, we're questioning, you know, is Tony just really babying the players, or, you know, what's going on here? I don't disagree with today, though, because if we can have Luis tomorrow as we start that Astros series, I'm much more concerned about that.
Yeah, only the player knows how much he's hurting, and they're calling it a sprained left hand. And I saw speculation on Twitter. People said they rewound and replayed the slide and called it a dirty play because the second baseman had his
scope
leg blocking the base before he got the ball.
Yeah, what is the rule on that? I know it's it's been a little sketchy. I thought the same thing. I mean, you have to allow access to the base.
Yeah, I didn't see it as a dirty play. It was unfortunate. So, you know, Tony said that Luis Robert told him that the hand felt tight. So you're going to go with what the player is telling you. And I know that some people, I think Mike North, the great Mike North, one of my buddies and your buddies, said that he tweeted out, hey, it's all hands on deck. You got to play hurt. And he was disappointed that he wasn't out there yesterday, let alone today. I don't know how much that impacts, you know, squeezing a glove or squeezing a ball or squeezing a bat. But, you know, is what it is. He's not going to be in there. And I guess I can err with you on the side of you should be able to beat the Tigers without him, and let's go get the Astros.
Yeah, but, yeah. And I get what Mike is saying, because you see Jose Abreu. He ran out an infield hit in on first base, you know, ran it out at first base and seemed to be grabbing something in his back, like his quad. I'm like, oh, no. And that's when he stole second base. Now, arguably, Jose has been he's a warhorse, right? I mean, he's in there all the time. You know he's playing with bumps and bruises. So you're right. It's up to the individual player. And I guess just as a baseball fan, I would hope that, you know, that's not a situation where, you know, it just takes a little to take somebody off the field. But regardless, the fact that he's not playing today, I'm okay with, as long as that means he's available against the Astros starting tomorrow, because that is going to really be a test. Going from the Tigers to the Astros, that's a big difference there.
I know it's been a while, but you know, you just don't see the Kirk Gibson dragging a leg around the bases after hitting a home run. You just that seems to be part of baseball history, not so much the present.
Yeah, you're right about that. I guess I'm just I'm just that old. 313-332-3776. And I know you're right with me to a certain degree. And, you know, again, with him not in the lineup today, I think we should be able to beat the Tigers, you know, and we should be able to sweep a series. And I don't I'd have to look up when the last time we swept a series this year. Have we swept a series?
Well, did you see here's the problem with that. Was it earlier in the week? Daryl or somebody wrote it in the Sun-Times or someone on Twitter. I don't remember the exact numbers. It was something like the White Sox were like 13-22 in first games of series. I mean, it's like any time they start a series, they lose that game.
They lose the first game,
I mean, you can't sweep series if you're losing the first game.
It was
striking how lopsided that was.
Well, if we can get that win today, that means we were bucking the trend. We didn't lose the first game. We actually won games at home and actually swept.
Yeah,
is that the turnaround right there?
when I saw that stat, my mind said, okay, if the bigger picture is how do teams prepare, you know, for a team that's been squarely 500 for a year, you shouldn't take anything for granted, right? I mean, you should go into each series as if you have to go out and prove and win that first game. And you know, more often than not, you roll into that series and you end up on the losing side of game one. Does that lead to a bigger picture question as to what's going on and how are people prepping for this?
Well, there are all kinds of big questions and big picture questions with the White Sox. And to be talking about two wins in a row it's a nice change of pace, Brian.
Well, hey, the good news is Cleveland snapped its 6-game winning streak, or had it snapped, I should say. So you're still 2.5 back and sitting in third.
And the Twins lost as well.
Yeah, so, you know, that day worked out well for you.
Yes, it did. 312-332-3776. Grandal receives today's game off, too. He had a couple of, he had at least a walk yesterday. He hit the ball hard. I thought he had a home run to center field. That was not the case. He went 0-for-4. Again, last week we had a poll who's been the most disappointing of the White Sox players, and boy, Grandal just really stands out for me. And, you know, I'm not sure he'll be the same player again.
No. How many more years on that deal?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. We don't have to talk about everything, you know.
Yeah, maybe a fresh start. I think he's got at least one more year, right? He's not out of
contract,
unfortunately.
Yes, he does. And getting rid of that contract will be quite the chore if they try to do that. Again, you know, moving forward, no matter what happens this year, we have to figure things out. We've got Andrew Vaughn, who can play first base. Jose Abreu plays first base. Gavin Sheets, who plays first base, and the only other position on the field that Grandal can really play is first base. So, you know, there are a lot of things to think about past this year. But looking forward to seeing if we can get that sweep done, especially at Guaranteed Rate, because, again, we're bucking the trend with what's been happening this year. Terrible record at home, and the proclivity to be losing the first game of the series. We've won 2 of 3, and it was interesting yesterday to see Javi motion for a replay before he kept his tag on Jose, which would have made the difference there.
Yeah, and you know, they said keep booing Javi because he reacts well to, you know, I know he's an ex-Cub and Southside, they want to boo the ex-Cub, but he's been thriving more often than not in that. Good news is Ronaldo Lopez is back, and he's been pitching very well. Thank you very much. So it's
I'll tell you something. Two years ago, he was a big if he was going to stick with the team. And I think Ethan Katz, although I'm not totally sure as much as I've read to date, Ethan Katz can really, really be commended for helping that youngster straighten his game out. And what an asset he's become, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he's limited hitters to a 200 average. With runners on base, 17-for-85. Opponents are 2-for-20 with runners in scoring position with two outs, which is something, you know, that the White Sox can't generate runs with two outs when they have guys on. They're not very good. But Ronaldo Lopez shuts the door more often than not when guys are in scoring position. He needs one more out or one more pitch to get with the inning. He's been doing it.
Yep. 312-332-3776. Taking your calls. If you want to talk Bears, we'll talk White Sox. We're here until 12:30, and then we get to Connor McKnight with pregame as the White Sox take on Detroit. Lance Lynn pitching today for a 110 start. Here on your home for Chicago White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000.